In the first six verses of the book of Zechariah, we read the words of the Lord saying, "Return to me." This is the Words of Life program. Brother David Johnson will use the words, "Return to me," as his sermon title today. Words of Life is brought to you each week at this same time as a way of sharing the gospel of Jesus. Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers support this program with our prayers and contributions. We pray that you will be blessed. We begin with singing in worship of our Lord.
Silver can make a sinner whole. What shall it profit thee, O man, if thou should lose thy soul? What shall it profit a man? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
We invite invite you to pray with us. Lord, thank you for the blessings found in Jesus. As will be shared in the sermon today, we pray that people will return to you. Bless each of our listeners with the health, peace, and spiritual growth that are needed. It would be a blessing if world leaders would recognize that you are God. Please protect our believers from Satan's persecution, and we know that Jesus is going to return at your appointed time. Help us to be ready to meet him. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now speak to us on the topic, Return to Me.
It's great to be together again as we look in to the Word of God. The title for the lesson is Return to Me. And our text is taken from the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Please listen to the Word of God. In the 8th month of the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo. The Lord was very angry with your forefathers. Therefore, tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says, return to me, declares the Lord Almighty. And I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Do not be like your forefathers, to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed, this is what the Lord Almighty says, turn from your evil ways and your evil practices. But they would not listen or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. Where are your forefathers now? And the prophets, do they live forever? But did not my words and my decrees, which I commanded my servants and prophets, overtake your forefathers? Then they repented and said, the Lord Almighty has done to us what our ways and practices deserve, just as he determined to do. This is the word of God. May he add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Today's study is from this very rich prophetic book of Zechariah. Zechariah means the Lord remembers, probably referring to the Lord remembering Judah after its exile. Zechariah is the great prophet of the days of restoration from Babylonian captivity and exile of Judah's best and brightest. Zechariah himself was actually an exile, born in Babylon of a priestly family that returned to Jerusalem when some 50,000 exiled traveled home, released under the Persian king Cyrus. Zechariah's book is second only to Isaiah in scope from the Old Testament prophets about Messiah. In fact, even more so than all the other so-called minor prophets combined regarding Messiah. According to scholars, Zechariah wrote chapters 1 through 8 about the year 520 BC and chapters 9 through 14 about 480 BC. Zechariah's book has been called the Apocalypse of the Old Testament because of its 8 visions seen by Zechariah, similar to the Apostle John in the New Testament, seeing visions in the book of Revelation. Apocalypse means revelation. Literally, it means uncovering or unveiling. Zechariah's ministry emphasis was to encourage the returning exiles to rebuild the temple and to nourish hope into the future over every enemy of Judah. His prophecies are quoted or alluded to 41 times in the New Testament. Zechariah's writings are a spiritual history of Judah from the return after 70 years of Babylonian captivity to the end time of Israel, of national Israel, and into the messianic millennial age. A simple overview of the entire prophetic book is as follows, chapters 1 through 6 regarding the visions, chapters 7 and 8 regarding questions, chapters 9 through 14 dealing with burdens. According to Matthew chapter 23 and verse 35, Zechariah was murdered between the temple and the altar, a death similar to another earlier man named Zechariah, according to 2 Chronicles 24 verses 20 through 21, who had been stoned to death. The opening six verses of the first chapter of Zechariah are an introduction to the entire prophecy, in which Zechariah calls upon the exiles to repent and never repeat the sins of their forefathers. When we read the scriptures today, we are also often warned, cautioned, not to repeat past sinful behavior, but to repent and return to the Lord. Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 1 says in part, "In the eighth month of the second year of Darius." So this was about October to November 520 BC, about 2 months after the beginning of his contemporary prophet Haggai, who ministered with Zechariah. This would have been at the resumption of the rebuilding of Second Temple, Zerubbabel's temple. Zechariah had joined Haggai in lifting the people from their indifference to rededicate themselves to rebuilding Second Temple, of which reconstruction had been halted for nearly 15 years. People were ignoring their service to the Lord. Darius was the king of Persia, obviously a Gentile monarch. Most Old Testament prophets who dated their prophecies did so with the reign of a king of Israel or Judah, or both. But Zechariah dated his opening words according to the reign of a Gentile king, indicating that the times of the Gentiles had begun. As referred to in the New Testament, Luke chapter 21 and verse 24, the times of the Gentiles. Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 2. "The Lord was very angry with your forefathers." Angry here in the Hebrew about the Lord means to break out in long-controlled indignation. So the Holy Spirit revealed to Zechariah of the severity of God's wrath and necessity of his judgment on their forefathers for their past unrepentant sins. God has emotions. However, they, such as anger, are usually long-suffering and certainly controlled. Yet the time does come, in the past, in the present, and in the future, when God's anger breaks out in judgment and wrath. We today as a nation, as a people, as individuals, should be keenly aware that non-repentance can have serious consequences today and into the future. Verse 3, "Therefore tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty." This exhortation to repent and return was probably delivered certainly to all the people. Notice the strong, solemn rebuke repeating the Lord Almighty three times in a rather short verse. This exhortation went beyond the people's indifference in rebuilding the temple. Zechariah rebuked their general spiritual apathy, their neglect of spiritual priorities. They had not repented. They had not returned fully or at all to their God. They were headed in the wrong direction, away from the Lord Almighty, as their forefathers had tragically done. The Lord Almighty's wrath and judgment could fall on them again. They were being warned by God's prophet Zechariah. This exhortation and warning is just as valid and needful today, because neglect of our spiritual priorities can be just as devastating to us individually, to our nation, to our society, in our churches. For us personally, we need to seek the kingdom of God first, the Lord and His will in our lives, as revealed in Scripture. Verse 4, Do not be like your forefathers, to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed, 'This is what the Lord Almighty says, turn from your evil ways and your evil practices.' But they would not listen or pay attention to me, declares the Lord." God often spoke through His prophets. Today, God speaks through His written word and His servants that teach and preach His written word. We also must hear and heed the word of God. We have a familiar phrase, like father, like son, which implies children often turn out morally, even spiritually, like their parents, their forefathers. Yet we should understand that we're not trapped by our heredity or environment. It does impact us, it does influence us, but we are all individually accountable and responsible for our own beliefs and behavior. We do not have to follow in the sinful, immoral ways of our forefathers. We are free to choose individually, in spite of our family attitudes and lifestyle. We should choose God. Choose godly ways, godly practices. We do need to listen and pay attention and live out the Word of God in our lives. We must heed and pay attention to the conviction of our sin by the Holy Spirit within us, as born-again baptized believers, as New Testament saints, as the church today, the Lord's church. The attitude and sinful actions of their forefathers could be summed up as is written in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 15 through 16, which says, "The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them through His messengers again and again, because He had pity on His people and on His dwelling place. But they mocked God's messengers, despised His words, and scoffed at His prophets, until the wrath of God was aroused against His people, and there was no remedy." This set of circumstances sounds alarmingly like today, as society all around us, for the most part, is not following the Lord. So what is the remedy? We can apply 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." By application, repentance begins with the Lord's church today. We all need more humility, more prayer and repentance of our wicked ways. In fact, James, in his epistle to the church, writes much the same remedy. Consider James chapter 4 and verse 7 and following, which says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Drop down to verse 10. "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up." A.W. Tozer, a very fine Christian writer, reminds us that, quote, "Nearness is likeness," end quote. Therefore, if we truly desire to be close, to be near to God, we must develop godly character in obedience to our Lord, because we have made Him Lord, Master of our lives. Striving unto likeness of Christ is a great ambition for the believer. Then Zechariah asked his listeners two rhetorical questions to bring them to their senses. Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 5. "Where are your forefathers now? And the prophets, do they live forever?" If the listeners that day and by application, us today, were honest, they would acknowledge that due to their forefathers' hard hearts, they were mostly slain by the Babylonians in the case of those listening to Zechariah. And we today, listening to the Word of God. Who were God's agents of His wrath and judgment due to their forefathers' repeated unrepentance? And many of God's prophets sent to their forefathers they had killed and despised. The Babylonians were God's agents of wrath in Zechariah's day. And God can still use whomever, whatever He chooses to be His agents of wrath, of correction, of discipline for the believer. Forefathers and prophets are all mortal. Death silences them. But we today should be reminded of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8 that says, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever." So we can always learn for ourselves regarding the principles, promises, prophecies, and yes, the warnings of God's word to us, that His word is not silenced. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 6a. "But did not my words and my decrees, which I commanded my servants the prophets, overtake your forefathers?" Obviously, Zechariah's hearers of this message that day knew well that their forefathers' sin had caused the desolation of Judah, of Jerusalem, and the desolation of their temple, plus their exile to Babylon. Evidence was all around them, still lying in ruins, needing to be rebuilt, and they were cut to the heart. Verse 6b. "Then they repented and said, 'The Lord Almighty has done to us what our ways and practices deserve, just as He determined to do.'" Finally, in mass, they were convicted by the preaching of the word and will of God through God's prophet Zechariah, and they repented and turned from their sin unto the Lord Almighty. Thankfully, that people did not repeat the mistakes of their forefathers, because sins tend to be reruns. We too must break the evil patterns from our forefathers. We all must repent. We must turn from our sin and turn to the Lord, to begin or to return to our God anew. Vance Harvner was a very fine, fiery preacher of the early 1900s who famously had many pithy sayings, such as, quote, "The church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints," end quote. He also pointed out, quote, "The last word of our Lord to the church is not the Great Commission, which indeed is our program to the end of the age, but our Lord's last word explicitly to the church is one word, repent," end quote. And we find that in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, and again in verse 16, and again in verses 21 through 22 of chapter 2, and also in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3, and Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19. Explicitly repent to five of the seven churches to which Jesus commanded them they needed to repent. We in the church regularly ask God to bless us. Politicians love to end their speeches with, quote, "God bless America," end quote. But we must first be the kind of people that God can bless. Perhaps there are some here, listening, that God is convicting even now, to return to me, or even to come to me, which are just as valid concerns today as it was in Zechariah's day, thousands of years ago. Make that decision for Jesus Christ today. Make Him Lord of your life.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son.
Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us.
Give thanks.
We have heard a meaningful and appropriate sermon from God's Word. I feel sure that we have been blessed. We are interested in your spiritual walk, and we welcome you to contact us with questions or comments regarding what you have heard. You may have a free CD of this and last week's program by requesting CD 2232. That's 2232. We look forward to hearing from you, and may God bless you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.
Sing them all.